The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Hey, Mike, how's it going, my man?
Hey, I am doing so well, my friend.
Listen, I want to talk to you, but I got a quick story for you first.
All right.
Listen.
Haven't had one in a week.
Listen, I was talking with my family, and we're talking about vacations, like family vacations. And, you know, we live in Central Florida.
Vacation world.
Right, and so everyone in the world wants to come here, but when you're here, it's like, you know, it's like a staycation, right, kind of a thing. So we started some research on, like, you know, places we want to go to, maybe get a cabin and be in the woods and beautiful. And you know what's on my radar? West Virginia.
Oh, it's a beautiful
place.
Have
you spent time in West Virginia?
I have spent about 10 days there.
Oh, my gosh. And so I am, like, just all about visiting West Virginia. I've been there before, but really having this really cool vacation. And you know what? We have a special guest today.
A very special guest.
Listen, we might call him Mr. West Virginia.
Yes,
I don't
right.
know if there's a pageant, but if there was, he'd win it. But we got Patrick Morrissey, who's the Attorney General from West Virginia. Thanks for being here, sir.
Hey, it's good to be with you. And I do want to encourage everyone listening, come vacation to West Virginia. It's wild and wonderful, and it's an incredible place. There's actually a national park there. It was designated several years ago. And it's one of the unique national parks in the country because you can go hunting, you can go fishing, you can go out and kayak, you have the rapids. It's unbelievable. And that's just one of the very many things that you can do in our beautiful state. So most people come and spend a little bit of time and they fall in love with the state. And we encourage folks to come in, spend all your money, and and you'll leave a very happy person.
So, tell me about the rapids. What about the rapids? Is it legit rapids?
Yeah, they're legit rapids. Look, it's not like other parts of the world, but it's pretty special. A lot of people go to Fayette County, and there's a place, Fayetteville, and there are rapids out on the New River, and a couple people really love to come out and spend time there. And so you get the right time of year. It can be pretty special. And then a lot of people come, they do camping, they do hunting. There's also the Hatfield-McCoy ATVs, so you get people out on the trails.
Wow.
That's actually a neat thing that for southern West Virginia and for Kentucky, a lot of people get on these trailheads and they meander around. And not only will you find a lot of rich history, but you're talking about some wild driving. So you're on these off-road vehicles and you could really hurt yourself if you're not careful, but there are a lot of different types of trails and roads that people go on, and it's becoming all the rage. In fact, there've been a lot of mini hotels and housing built by the trails in recent years, and I think that's just one of the many things going on showing that West Virginia tourism has been on the rise. Interestingly, National Geographic and a number of the magazines started profiling West Virginia as one of the more interesting places to visit and have a vacation.
All right, listen. When you talk about rapids, Mike and I are thinking about the Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, that little part in the beginning? Like, that's our extent.
Yeah.
So any level of rapids is impressive. Now, listen, you know, you are a guy that's like a lifelong West Virginia guy, right?
I'm not a lifelong West Virginia guy.
Sorry.
So it's interesting. I was a West Virginian by choice.
Okay.
But I love the state passionately. And here's what happened. Here's what attracted me to West Virginia. So when I was younger, I actually used to spend a lot of time coming to visit West Virginia. And I would hike on the Appalachian Trail, or I would go down on a kayak. And many people know that Harper's Ferry is at the confluence of the Potomac and the Shenandoah Rivers. And you hear the famous John Denver songs, right? But what a lot of people don't realize is that that area, that part of the country, is so rich with history. Harper's Ferry flipped over 7 times during the Civil War. Charlestown was the first rural post office in the country. And so many people will come. It's not far from Antietam. People come out to just take in the history and the beautiful scenery. And then they go home, and, you know, then there are people like me that come back and decide to stay a lifetime. And
so you've been there most of your life.
I've been there a long time. We've been there 18 years so far. So.
And so, and then being in public service, right?
Yeah.
And so you're now running for governor, right?
I am. And I think we've got a great shot of winning that race. But I love the state, and I'm so happy with the decision I made. And I never would have imagined that I would serve as the state attorney general or be in position to be the next governor. But I think it's because of, one, the love of my state, but the love of solving problems, getting big things done in the arena. And that's what I've done during my three terms as attorney general.
Listen, I know all that. Okay, I know all that. You're so impressive. I want to know about you, though. Like, in your heart and your soul, that's, you know, look, you're a guy who could be doing a lot of stuff. You know, you could be doing out stuff, making money. You could be doing out stuff, you know.
That's right.
Fishing more or something. But you're choosing to put yourself in more and more public service. So tell me, like, not the Patrick Morrissey, the Pat, the in the heart, what's going on that you're like, oh, I'm doing this. What's driving that?
I will tell you a story. So when I decided to run for attorney general in 2012, I remember talking to some of my colleagues at the time, and they said, what the heck are you thinking about doing? Because it required a pretty big pay cut.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And so, you know, I'm certainly not in this for the money.
Right.
I'm in this so I could make a difference for the state. And a lot of my colleagues thought I was certifiable. They said, what on earth? This is not a good thing. So you're 44. You're kind of at the peak of your earnings capacity. Mm-hmm. Life is going well. But you know what? I never have been driven by money. I'm driven by making a difference. And so whatever I've done in life, that's been the focus. So it just so happened that in 2012, there was a unique opportunity. In fact, I had tried to recruit someone to run for attorney general, but my recruiting efforts were unsuccessful. And that's what led the way. And in fact, we came really close to getting someone to run, and then he decided not to do it. And then that guy and a number of others turned around and said, well, why don't you run? And the rest is history. I ran. And once I decided to jump in, I was pot committed, and I realized, you know what? I'm going to make sure I do everything imaginable to win, to help our state, help our country.
Well, you know, sometimes in my life, I've had the fortune of meeting some different politicians different times and different levels, and sometimes they're really bright, like they're super bright, but I don't know that they know how the normal world works, right? And I don't drop names on this, but I bumped into a famous politician I know in the gym one time, and I asked him this question about some people in the Bush administration. I was like, do you think they know what it's like to have to make payroll, or, you know, not sure if you can pay your rent, or like, do I pay this bill or that bill? Do you understand that? And he's like, yeah, I think some, like, they don't always understand, right? But you're like a regular guy.
I do understand.
You do understand.
I always tell the story of when I was younger and I graduated law school and I was contemplating what to do. And then I ultimately made a very conscious decision. I turned down some law firm opportunities. I put my own shingle up. And that started to go well, and I started bringing a few clients in, but I was a young lawyer.
Sure.
When you're a baby lawyer, you really don't know much about what you're doing, but you're learning, you're getting experience. And so that's what happened, but I had one of my clients go bankrupt.
Ooh.
And when that client went bankrupt, what happened to me is most of my revenue just went bye-bye. And so I ended up taking many odd jobs, and I came very close to going under financially. But you know what I did? I picked up the odd jobs. I waited tables. And I remember a couple times I was in the middle of some trials and some big cases as a young lawyer, where I was working all day in court. And then I'd go at night and I'd be waiting tables, and I might close the restaurant till 2 a.m. And then I got to study for a couple hours because we're in the middle of a trial. And I actually think that taught me so much, because the fact that I didn't go under and that I was able to make it to the other side, you know, I didn't go bankrupt. That kind of gave me the sense that, look, I can make it no matter what the circumstances. And that spirit, that drive, that determination, I think, has filtered into so much of what I've done the rest of my life. And I feel very fortunate for it, because my parents, look, growing up, we didn't grow up with very much money, but they taught me a good work ethic and the right type of values. And that's what matters most in life.
Well, and I think for the position that you're in and you're looking at, it helps, in my mind, make you so qualified, because you're relatable and you're empathetic, right? So like the single mom that's dealing with an issue, or, you know, the working parents dealing with the issues, or the elderly, you know, couple dealing with the issues.
Absolutely.
And all the things along that, they can look at you and like, here's a guy that's been in this chair. You know, he understands what I'm experiencing, can have empathy towards me. Right.
Well, without a doubt. And so I've represented some people that a lot of people who didn't have any money. I had to go into the courthouse. I had to go into the jail cells. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what an experience it is to go. And I remember being assigned a case with a 15-year-old kid. Mm. And you walk in and you see all these people that are getting ready. They've been charged with a number of different crimes. and you see everyone showing the lawyer respect as you go into the local jailhouse. And that was a wild experience. And then when you speak and people are looking at you because you may be their only hope in terms of a presentation. And but you also listen a lot and you look. I remember looking at some of the kids and some of them had what I'd call dead eyes, right? That they just didn't have that sense of life in them.
Sure.
And I never will forget that, because when you find that and you see that, you know that there's a lot of work that needs to be done and that everyone may not be as fortunate as you. And you've got to work really hard to try to reach those people, touch those people with some of the problems and challenges that they have that are not easy to get to.
Well, in your position now, and the one I believe you're going to have with being a governor, heavyweight's a crown, man. You have to make some very, very big literally life and death decisions.
That's right.
You know, and so to have a human there that can feel the weight of the mom on one side and the mom on the other side, right? Like, you know, there's victims and there's bad guys, but bad guys still have families, and then trying to figure out what's the right path. It's a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. And in fact, every person I interview in our criminal appellate shop, because they're handling the criminal matters for the state at the appellate level, I ask them not just how comfortable they are to prosecute the bad guys. I ask them if they're willing to be fair and administer justice. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. When you're the attorney general of the state, you've got to be blind to political affiliation or economic status when you're handling enforcement of the laws. You can't just be targeting people. Look, we all see it in this day and age of how many people are being targeted. You know, whatever you may think, a lot of these kids, they go after folks just because, oh, they have a different political stripe than them. You want a prosecutor. You want an attorney general to be above that. It doesn't mean you're not going to put on your stripes in the arena, but when it comes to the specific facts and the law, you got to do it right.
Listen to my friend. I'm a big fan of state of West Virginia. It's a beautiful state. And I'm a big fan of you. And I'm a big fan of you because I really have repeatedly felt like I've seen your heart about a guy who's worked his way up, knows where people are at, and is going to do the right thing. And we need you. We need more guys like you. So thank you for being on the show and for your service.
Absolutely. And look, anyone who wants to learn more about me, you can go to patrickmorrissey.com. That's 2 R's, 1 S, patrickmorrissey.com. I am the West Virginia Attorney General. I am in my third term. I'm running for governor. Most people suggest we've got a little bit of a lead in the polls, but I've learned in life you can't take anything for granted. So we're working really hard between now and the primary, May 14th. So take a listen, go online, maybe chip in a couple bucks and offer to help, because it makes a big difference. When you can punch a little bit heavier than your weight class coming out of West Virginia, it's great for our state and our standard of living. It's good for the country as a whole.
Well, I really appreciate it. And last thing I'll say, I got to wrap this up, but you know, there are a lot of parts of our country that don't get the national attention. And when you think about that, that's the parts that need the strongest leadership. They need the strongest voice. So thank you for representing the people of West Virginia. And thank you for being a human that cares about people that are in need. So thanks for being here, Patrick Morrissey, Attorney General of West Virginia. And I think the next governor. So thanks for being here.
Be well and keep the faith.
All right, my friend. Thanks. We'll be right back after this break. As the largest property tax practice in North America, Ryan's professionals possess the local footprint and knowledge, backed by a team with national expertise, to help organizations minimize their property tax liabilities and ensure valuations are fair and accurate. With the Florida tax appeal deadlines approaching rapidly, local experts at Ryan work proactively with many jurisdictions across Florida well in advance of the August trim notice mailing to ensure our clients receive maximum tax savings. Guys, I use Ryan, and I hope you will too.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper & Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com. This is John Crossman, and I work with a lot of vendors in the commercial real estate industry. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite ones ever is my friends over at Construction Unlimited, Florida's premier roofing company, and they bridge the craftsmanship with the pinnacle of innovation. They're just one of the best groups because of the trust, the expertise, the quality, and my favorite part, they're really committed to the community. When you're thinking about roofing construction needs, keep Construction Unlimited at the top of your list.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Oh, wow. Mike, we are back. And we just had Attorney General Patrick Morrissey from the great state of West Virginia.
He was so great.
You know, here's the thing is I like him. I like him as a human. I like him as a person. And I get it. You know, he's a politician. He's running for office and likely to be the, you know, the governor of West Virginia. I'm just telling you, like, he's a relatable, regular guy.
Yes, he is.
Right. You know, like, when he got dropped off here, he got dropped off by his Uber.
And, that's right.
No, he had his suitcase. He had two bags. And I was standing there holding the door, but like he's got, I let the board show that I ran over to try to pick up his bags for him and help him. And he wouldn't let me do it. Like, you know, that he carried his luggage. I'm, you know, he's about to be the next, you know, maybe the next governor. He's attorney general. That's a big deal in our country. And I'm trying to grab his bags and help carry his luggage for him.
Yeah,
and he was not having any part of that. Like he was carrying his own bags. And I'm like, this is a guy that's been a regular guy.
Yeah.
Right. And again, you know, there's that difference between sympathy and empathy, right? You and I have talked about you've experienced real loss in your life and you've been so kind and vulnerable in how you've shared that. And I've tried to share my loss. And when you go through that, you move into this empathetic space,
right?
And, you know, to me, it's like that's a humanity space. It's a Christian space that goes beyond party, right?
I agree with you. And he seems to really have the whole state of West Virginia in his heart, in his mind, as he's serving them. It's not from a selfish position or whatever. And I loved before he left, I had a chance to do a brief talk with him for my show, too. And, you know, it's very clear that we've got a guy who's really serving for the good of the country.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I had a thing one time I posted on social media where I talked about loving all people and loving people who are different than me, have a different view. And a person in elected service, in office, in Central Florida, commented on my post and said, I disagree with that. And I asked them to explain that. And they said, if they don't love me, I don't love them. Like, I mean, it was just a straight up line.
Conditional love.
Totally conditional. Yeah. And so it's, and I was pointing out like, hey, in your position, once you're in office, like, you know, when you're a governor, you're not a governor of one party, you're governor of the whole state. This person was openly saying, hey, if you don't align with me, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
That's bad, right? That's not okay, right? So when a guy, you know, he's a conservative guy, but he was really making a statement like, hey, as a governor, as attorney general, you know, he's about the truth. He's about, you've got to be a leader that's about all people, right?
I agree completely, John. And, you know, this is the thing that I've always found to be so interesting. Those that are for, like, I'm going to just pick up one of the popular hot buttons here, abortion. Mm-hmm. Those that are for pro-abortion have identified themselves as being pro-choice. Mm-hmm. Now, the word pro-choice, if you take just the last half of that, choice, that means there are more than one option. Mm-hmm. There is more than one option. So, but the trouble of it is, they don't really give you that other option as being a legitimate choice. So you're really not pro-choice, you're my choice. If you're standing that way, and I agree with you, a person that's going to be the governor, if he is indeed going to win that West Virginia race as governor, then he is going to be representing the entire state, and he has to wisely lead that state, even those that don't fundamentally agree with every political point that he does.
Well, since you brought up that fun hot topic conversation, yeah. Mike. You know, I said to somebody one time, I'm like, being pro-life doesn't mean anti-abortion, right? And then like, but what I was making this point was, I think I told about my friend who was talking about the cops, and he said, we want to make sure a cop pauses before pulling the trigger. And I said, you know, I think pausing and having deep thought before life is taken is a healthy conversation for all of us. So I was in this dialogue with people who are very, very pro-choice. And I said, listen, I want to explain to you where my stance is. And I said, I'm pro birth control, right? I'm pro sex education. I'm pro women's rights. And what I mean by that is like no woman should be forced to have sex with any man anywhere who does not want to, right? Like, I mean, I was going through all the things I'm for. I'm like, but at the end of it, I do not deem myself pro-choice because I'm like, you know, I think abortion is wrong. And I'm like, now that said, like, obviously you can do a deep dive into that. So in my mind, when I was communicating with these people, I was like, gosh, it feels like we have a lot we're in common, right? Like one of the things I'm like, I was like, I don't want any woman to find herself pregnant with that doesn't want to be, right? That seems logical.
Right.
And then I'm pro adoption and I'm pro foster homes and I'm pro, you know, raising children. And these people were not having it. I mean, they just saw me as the devil. They were coming at me so hard. And I'm like, guys, it's really hard. You're basically saying there's no common ground at all.
Yeah, it's like if you don't agree with every tenet that they believe, that you're not even an American. I mean, that's you're not even a worthwhile human being. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Well, it's funny. It's I was having a conversation recently about a book by C.S. Lewis, and we were talking about how some things in life are simple, like the importance of holding a child, right? Or caring for an elderly loved one, right? Like these things are kind of simple. But then other things in life are quite complex, right? Quite complex. And so we have to have leadership that is discerning in those moments.
Right.
And they may technically have to go in contrast with a talking point of their political party because of what's best interest in the people they're leading at the moment.
That's exactly right, John.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's like, you know, but I want my desire would be is like to have really deep, complex, meaningful conversation. And even where we disagree, we're still able to shake hands and able to, you see each other as fellow Americans and neighbors and loved ones and that kind of stuff. And I, listen, some people are very non-confrontational. So the thought of even having a conversation about race or abortion or guns or immigration or any kind of things, people just get like, pick your sides and, you know, man up and we're, and that's just not how my worldview is. And my point being is like, you know, Attorney General Morrissey seems like that kind of guy that he's able to, in a human way, because he's, you know, waited tables and he's worked his way through school and he's had to make payroll. He understands humility, right?
Right.
And the fragility of life, right? Just the existence and the importance that you got to be in relationship with people.
And he really does love the rule of law. That's something that I think we as Americans are really wanting when we look at what's going on in the border. It feels like we've just forgotten how to abide by the rule of law.
Well, it's a combination of things, right? It's like, it's some people will be like, well, if you're compassionate, you just let everybody in. And it's like, hey, I hear you. And we as a nation have been built by immigration and lots of people coming in. And that's a wonderful thing. But if you don't do that in an organized, lawful way, you create a dangerous situation.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
You create it. It's like, to me, it's like, guys, like we want and need lots of immigration. At the same time, we don't want, you know, guns being smuggled in. We don't want sex trafficking to happen. We don't want people coming in that have an infectious disease, right?
Like, or drug cartels.
Or drug cartels. Yeah. Or like, and so to me, it's like, guys, like the solution is not a wall and no one coming in. The solution is not open. The solution is complex, right? It's a big, hard, complex issue. But we need more people that are committed to stop yelling at each other, stop finger pointing, and really get down to like safety.
Yeah.
Right. Like we want and need immigration. We just need it in a safe, healthy way. That seems so easy, like in that part of it. But you have to have people in leadership who want to have those honest dialogues, right?
I agree.
The complexity.
I agree.
Well, appreciate you being here with Mike. So it's Attorney General Patrick Morrissey. What a great guest. What a great guy.
He really is a fun guy to talk to, too. He has a real twinkle in his eye. He loves his home state, and he's a big proponent for all the tourism that really does go to that area. It's a beautiful state.
No, absolutely. And look, I said this. We, whether it's West Virginia or it's Mississippi or it's Wyoming, like, they need really healthy representation because sometimes on a national level, they don't get the help they need. Like,
right.
You know, you know, what is it? Like somebody running for president, either party, they could just focus on, I don't know, what is Mike, 10 states, you know, like, you know, the swing states, and they could skip everything else, right? And then they win, and then they could just focus on those states and win a re-election. And then what happens in Mississippi? What happens in West Virginia? Right. What happens in these places where there are real people that really need help? You know, if they don't have strong local leadership, they're going to have a problem.
That's why our founders had the whole Electoral College
right.
for that very reason.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I'm a fan of Governor Tate Reeves in Mississippi because I think he does a really good stuff. He's supported our scholarship at Jackson State, you know. And so, like, we need people like that that look across the aisle. So with that, you know, I always appreciate people that support HBCUs, right?
I know you
do. I would always put Patrick Morrissey as a guy who's a human guy that's doing good stuff. And we like highlighting those kinds of people. So anyway, thanks for being here with me, Mike.
It's always a joy to do this.
Appreciate it. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.